Jesus.
I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I remember many of your faces.
And
I am happy to study the Word of God again with you. Now I want to be speaking today mostly to you young people. But what I have to say is useful for everyone. Now I'm 63 years old. But long ago I was a young man. And when I was a little boy, my mother and father took me to church. And I learned some Bible stories. And when I was 12 years old, I was baptized. And I joined the church. Outwardly, I was moral. I believed in Jesus. I went to church. I was baptized. I knew some Bible stories. I was outwardly moral. But I had one big problem. I was not a true Christian. I had been baptized. I go to church. I believe the Bible. I was outwardly moral. But I was not a true Christian. The problem with many young people, they are brought up in a Christian home. Every Saturday they go to church. They understand some Bible verses. They can sing Christian songs. Maybe they've been baptized. But they may not be a true Christian. So I want to talk to you young people today about a very important subject. What does it mean to be a true Christian? And what does it mean to be a true disciple? Many young people go to church, but they're not true disciples. Many young people have been baptized, but they're not true disciples. Many young people know the Bible, but they're not true disciples. Many young people want to be a Christian, but they don't want to be a disciple. Many young people want to go to heaven, but they don't want to live for Christ. But Jesus says this: if you are a true Christian, if you are born again, you have a new heart, you have a new desire, you have a new purpose, and you no longer live for yourself, but you will follow Jesus Christ. So I want to talk about what it means to be a true disciple. And I want to ask you young people this question: are you a true disciple? Are you willing to follow Jesus Christ? Going to church is not enough. Being baptized is not enough. Being outwardly moral is not enough. Believing the Bible is not enough. Jesus tells us to follow him.
Yesu Christle bhannu bhayeko cha malai pachhi aau.
Not just on Saturday.
केवल शनिबारको दिन मात्र हैन.
But every day.
हरेक दिन.
Not just in the church.
चर्चमा मात्र हैन.
But in every place.
हरेक ठाउँमा.
Not just part of our life.
अनि केही हाम्रो भाग जीवनको भागमा मात्र.
But all of our life.
हाम्रो सम्पूर्ण जीवनबाट नै.
Are you a true disciple?
के चाहिँ तपाई चाहिँ असल चेला हुनुहुन्छ?
So I want to talk about these things.
म आज तपाईहरुको बीचमा यी विषयमा चर्चा गर्न गइरहेको
छु. Number 1.
पहिलो कुरा.
The beginning of discipleship.
चेलापनको सुरुवात.
Where does it begin? Number 2. The definition of discipleship. Number 3. The conditions of discipleship. And number 4. The practical expressions of discipleship. Where does it begin? What is it? What are the conditions? How does a disciple live? So I'm talking to you young people. And I ask you this question. Are you a true disciple? Many people go to church. Many people believe right here. Many people have been baptized. Many people can sing the song. But true disciples are very few. So my question to you. And to you. And to you. And to everyone. Are you a true disciple? Number one. The beginning of discipleship. Where does it begin? Listen carefully. True discipleship begins with true conversion. If you are not a true Christian, you cannot be a disciple. If you've not been born again, you cannot be a disciple. If your heart has not been changed, you cannot be a disciple. So I want to talk about the beginning of discipleship. Have you got a marker, brother?
Yeah.
Where did it go? Here it is. So first of all, our subject is true discipleship. True discipleship. Now write it in Nepali, brother. Many people go to church, but they're not true disciples. So I want to answer this question today. What does it mean to be a true disciple? Our first point. Where does it begin? Number one, beginning of discipleship. And if you have a notebook, I want you to write this down.
चेलापनको सुरुवात. यदि तपाईहरुको नोटबुक छ भने चाहिँ तपाईहरुले चाहिँ लेख्न सक्नुहुन्छ आफ्नो नोटमा.
Listen carefully.
ध्यानपूर्वक सुन्नुहोस्.
True discipleship begins with being truly converted.
साँचो चेलापनको सुरुवात चाहिँ साँचो परिवर्तनबाट सुरु हुन्छ.
I don't know your heart. Man looks on the outside. God looks at the heart. Many young people are outwardly moral. But inwardly they're spiritually dead. They go to church, but they've never been born again. They've been baptized, but they've never truly been converted. converted. So I want to talk about true conversion. Because if you're not converted, you cannot be a disciple. Now listen carefully. I want to discuss this in two ways. I want to talk about what true conversion is not. And I want to talk about what true conversion is. Many of you preachers have heard this before. But I'm speaking to you young people. Many people are confused. They say, I go to church. I believe in Jesus. I've been baptized. I'm a nice boy. I can sing the Christian songs. But listen carefully. That doesn't make you a Christian. True conversion is not being born into a Christian family. Many people are born into a Christian family. Their mother and father are Christians. Their grandfather and grandmother are Christians. They come from a Christian family. And they think this way. When I was born, I was born a Christian. But listen carefully. That's not right. No one is born a Christian. Being born into a Christian family is not what it means to be a Christian. Now that's a great blessing. How many of you were born in a Christian family? Listen carefully. That's a great blessing. But that's not how you become a Christian. Your mother and father cannot make you a Christian. So that is not what it means to be a Christian. Listen carefully. Being baptized does not make you a Christian. Many young people are baptized. They join the church. And they think that's what makes them a Christian. Baptism does not make you a Christian. Joining the church does not make you a Christian. Just believing in your head does not make you a Christian. Just saying you are Christian does not make you a Christian. Now it's a great blessing to come to church. But that doesn't make you a Christian. You all believers should be baptized. But baptism does not save you. Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. But he will say, I never knew you. Now listen carefully. Your mother and father cannot save you. Going to church cannot save you. Good works cannot save you. Being outwardly moral cannot save you. Being baptized cannot save you. Knowing a few Bible verses cannot save you. None of these things save you. So if I ask you young people this question, are you a true Christian? How do you know? What is a true Christian? How does a person become a Christian? Your parents can't save you. Church can't save you. Baptism can't save you. Being a good person can't save you. Knowing a few verses cannot save you. Singing the songs cannot save you. Saying you're a Christian cannot save you. Many young people do not understand their true condition. When I was 12 years old, I joined the church, was baptized, I knew some Bible verses, but I was not a Christian. My heart had never been changed. So if you want to be a disciple, you must first be a true Christian. And if you don't want to be a true disciple, you have never become a Christian. Because when a young person becomes a Christian, God gives him a new heart. God gives him a new purpose. God gives him a new life. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. So I ask you this question. What does it mean to be a true Christian? How does a person become a true Christian? If baptism does not save you, if going to church does not save you, good works do not save you, singing the songs do not save you, what does it mean to be a Christian? Maybe you are confused like I was confused. I was a nice boy. I went to church. I was baptized. I believed in my head. But I was not a true Christian. Are you a true Christian? What does it mean to be a true Christian? How does a person become a true Christian? It's the most important question in all the world. Many young people think this. The most important thing is my education. The most important thing is getting a job. The most important thing is having money. The most important thing is being married. The most important thing is having a big reputation. And they're living according to the world. They desire the things of the world. But listen carefully. Your most valuable possession. It's not your education. It is not your job. It is not your family. It is not your future. It is not your money. What is your most important possession? What did Jesus say? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Your most important possession is your own soul. Not your body, but your soul. Not your education, but your soul. Not your marriage, but your soul. Not your future, but your soul. Many young people, they live according to the world. And and they live like the world. And they seek after the things of the world. But if you're a true Christian, if you're a true disciple, you'll not live according to the world. You'll live according to the Word of God. And your most important possession is your own soul. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Many people preach this. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20.
Prakasha Pustak, 3:20.
What door is he knocking at? Look at chapter 3, verse 20.
Prakasha Pustak, 3:20.
I stand at the door and knock. What door is he talking about? What do most people say? He's knocking at the door of your heart. But listen carefully. That's the wrong interpretation. He's not speaking to lost sinners. He's speaking to the church. The church that he loves. The church that he disciplines. And he's knocking at the door of the church. He's not knocking at the door of a sinner's heart. Listen carefully. Asking Jesus into your heart does not make you a Christian. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Listen carefully. True conversion is two parts. And if you haven't done these two things, you're not a true Christian. Look in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. We're talking about true discipleship. And where does it begin? It begins with true conversion. If a baby is not born, he cannot grow. If a person is not born again, he cannot grow. If he doesn't have a new heart, he cannot be a disciple. So my question to you is this. Are you truly converted? Have you been born again? Most important question in the world. How can I become a Christian? What does it mean to be saved? Chapter 20. Look at verse 21. Paul is describing his ministry. Verse 21. Testifying to Jews and to Greeks. He said this message is for all people. Not just for Americans. Not just for Chinese. Not just for Indians. Not just for Nepali. Not just for Jew or Gentile, but for all people, Paul said. And he said, I preach two things. And what does the verse say? Two things. Look at the verse. Verse 21. This is the definition of true conversion. What's the first thing? Look at the verse. What's the first thing? Repentance toward God. What's the second thing? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not faith in Jesus. Not just faith in the Lord Jesus. But faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. True conversion has two parts. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to church will not save you. Being baptized does not save you. Good works do not save you. Being a nice person does not save you. Asking Jesus into your heart does not save you. If you want to be truly converted, if you want to be a true disciple, Paul says you must do two things. Number one, you must repent. Number two, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you young people this question. Have you truly repented? Have you truly believed in Jesus Christ? Let me describe repentance and faith. Because I can't see into your heart. I don't know your true condition. Outwardly you look nice. The girls are pretty and the boys are handsome. But listen carefully. Outward appearance does not matter. The important thing is the condition of your heart. And I don't want you young people to be like I was when I was a young person. I want you to be a true disciple. And how does it begin? By repentance and faith. When a man builds a house, where does he begin? Does he begin with a roof? Does he begin with the walls? Where does he begin? Foundation. And if you don't have the right foundation, you cannot build a good house. What is the foundation of discipleship? True conversion. Two parts. Repent and believe. What does it mean to repent? Listen carefully. The whole man turns from sin and self to God. His mind, his heart, his conscience, his will, his mouth, and his feet. The whole man, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, turns from sin, turns from the world, turns from his own will, and he turns to God. He understands he's a sinner in his mind. He is convicted of sin in his conscience. In his heart, he is sorry for his sin. With his will, he determines to leave sin. With his mouth, he confesses his sin. And with his feet, he leaves his sin. So I ask you this question. Have you truly repented? Have you turned from the world? Have you turned from your own good work? Have you turned from your sin? Have you turned from your own self-will? And have you turned 100% turning to God? Not 50%. Not trying to hold on to the world and hold on to God. Not trying to save your own life. Jesus said, he who saves his own life will lose it. And if you're going to be truly converted, you must repent. Now there's a true repentance and a false repentance. There's a repentance according to the world and there's a repentance according to God. There is a temporary repentance and a permanent repentance. One comes from God and the other from man. True repentance is a gift of God. And when a man truly repents, he turns from sin and self to God. So I ask you this question. Have you repented? Number two. What is true conversion? Paul says it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what is true faith? There's a true faith and there's a false faith. There's a temporary faith and a permanent faith. There's a faith that comes from God and a faith that comes from man. But I'm talking about true faith. It has several parts. Now, I've talked to you preachers about this before. It's important that you preach very clearly. What is true faith? It has three or four parts. Number one, it's understanding in the mind of the truth. Who God is, who I am, who Jesus is, and what Jesus did on the cross. You must understand the truth. Many people go to church. They have an emotional experience. But that is not true faith. Many people are healed. But that is not true conversion. Listen carefully. True faith begins in the mind. You understand who God is. You understand who you are. You understand who Christ is. God is holy. His law is perfect. We are sinful. We have broken God's law. Our good works cannot save us. And if we die, we would go to hell. Only Jesus can save us. He came to this earth. He obeyed God's law. He died on the cross. He paid the penalty for sinners. Now, many young people understand this. And that's the beginning of faith. But that's not enough. The demons knew who Jesus was. When Jesus walked on the earth, he cast out the demon. And what did the demon say? We know who you are. We know who you are. You are the Son of God. The devils knew who Jesus was. They knew he came from heaven. They knew why he came to earth. They knew he was going to the cross. And the devil tried to turn him away. Listen carefully. The devil believed in his head. But that's not true faith. What is faith? Number two, it is belief in the heart. Romans chapter 10. Look at that verse. Very familiar verse. If you are going to be a true disciple, you must first be a true Christian. Now let me ask you a question. How many times is the word Christian mentioned in the Bible? How many times is the word Christian mentioned in the Bible? Listen carefully. Three times. How many times is the word disciple mentioned in the Bible? Over 100 times. The identity of the Christian is a disciple. God is calling us to be true disciples. Going to church is not enough. Believing in your head is not enough. Look at chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Why? Verse 10. For with the heart a person believes. And what is the result? It results in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses. And what is the result? It results in salvation. Look at verse 11. Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Verse 13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? When a man understands he is a sinner, that he has broken God's law, that he is under God's judgment, that he cannot save himself, that his good works will not save him, going to church won't save him, being baptized won't save him. There is one name under heaven given to men. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. Paul said, there's one mediator between God and man. That is Jesus Christ. His righteous life. His redeeming death and his glorious resurrection. And when a man becomes a true Christian, he confesses his sin to God. And he turns from his sin. And he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does belief mean? Understanding in the mind, belief in the heart, confession with the mouth, and number four, entrustment or commitment of the life. Total commitment to Jesus Christ. Repent and believe. And if you're not a true Christian, you cannot be a true disciple. Where is the beginning of discipleship? With true conversion. So I ask you this question. Have you repented from sin? Have you turned from self? Have you truly believed in Christ? Not just in your head, but in your heart. Not just with your mouth, but with your whole life. When I was 20 years old, I became a true Christian. When I was 12 years old, I was baptized. I joined the church. I was outwardly okay. But I had never been born again. I had never truly committed my life to Christ. And I was at the university. And I was an athlete. And I had many things in the world. But I was not a true Christian. And one night, 43 years ago, a man came into my dormitory room. And he shared the gospel with me. And that night, God opened my heart. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. Not my own works. Not my baptism. Not my outward morality. But I trusted Jesus Christ. Gave my heart to Jesus. And committed my life to Christ. So I ask you this question. Have you done that? I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about good works. I'm not talking about singing the song. My question to you is this. Have you been truly converted? Many young people come to church, but they have an eye for the world. Many young people have been baptized, but their heart has never been changed. Many young people say, yes, I'm a Christian, but they have not given up their own life. The problem with many young people in America, many young people in China, many young people in Nepal, they go to church, they've been baptized, they believe in their head, but they're not true Christians. So my question to you is this. Today, right now, are you a true Christian? Have you truly believed? Have you truly repented? 100% trusting Jesus Christ alone. So before we talk about true discipleship, we have to have the right foundation. And if your life doesn't have the right foundation, your house will fall. If your life doesn't have the right foundation, your life will have no purpose. If your life doesn't have the right foundation, when you die, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe in 50 years, many young people think they will live a long time. Recently, we were in Kathmandu, and everyone rides motorcycles. And there was two young people on the motorcycle. They're about 16 or 18 years old. They were riding down the road. They were very happy. They were laughing. And all of a sudden, a big bus. And a young man, his head, 1 minute he was alive and the next minute he was dead. And he never thought about his soul. One day, from the youngest girl to the oldest man, you're going to die. I'm going to die. Do you know when you're going to die? No. I hope you live a long life, but you may not live a long life. Many young people died last night, and they were not ready to face God. So my question to you is this. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to face God? Are your sins forgiven? Are you a true Christian? Many young people get to heaven. They knock on the door of heaven. They open the door. Yeah. Who were you? Lord, I'm a Nepali young person. I've been baptized. I went to church. I believed in Jesus. I sang in the choir. I knew some Bible verses. I never knew you. Lord, I'm a Nepali Christian.
Oh, Prabhu, I'm a Nepali Christian.
I went to church. I've been baptized. Lord,
Prabhu,
let me in.
Mata bhitra jana chahanchu.
I don't know you.
Ani problem bhanne cha, mai timla chindaina.
Are you a true Christian?
Ke chai tapai sancho Christian hununcha?
You cannot play games with God. Man looks on the outside. God looks at the heart. And he sees your 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 heart. And he sees my heart. And there are only two kinds of people in the world. Child of God, child of the devil, a child of darkness,
a
child of light. Listen carefully. Coming to this meeting will not save you. Being baptized will not save you. Your mother and father cannot save you. Your good works cannot save you. You must be born again. You must from the heart totally commit your life to Jesus Christ. If you want to be a disciple, you must be truly converted. Well, let's pray. You pray for us.